for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, December the 31st, 2010. Don Andrews is the speaker of the morning, teaching on God's freedom in us.
All right, this morning, Brother Don Andrews from Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is going to come and share. Don is our, he's Glenn's right-hand man, that's for sure, because everything that Glenn used to do, Don does now. So praise the Lord, and I say he can fix anything. I know he calls on the Holy Ghost to help him, but I tell you, God has gifted him. But he also knows that as he prays for you, it's the Holy Ghost that's going to fix you. He can't do anything. Amen. Amen. We all know. We are all in that boat. If God don't come in and help us, we might as well just go.
Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for this camp. And I thank you for all the work that you're doing in us and setting us all free and trying to make us like you, Lord, as much as we'll let you. Lord, I just want your Holy Spirit to give me words this morning. Give me words. And let me share my heart freely with them and the things that you've done for me and the things that you can do for them and maybe some things you can do for them that you haven't even done for me yet. I thank you and praise you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. The first 2 days of camp, you know, God really did a work in me. I had a lot of conflicts going on inside me and a lot of things bothering me that we're not really supposed to have bothering us being deliverance ministers. You know? We're supposed to be always right on top. But having things in your way really stopped your discernment and really stopped your walk with Jesus. Having things bothering you, having things that are that you haven't given to Him, things you haven't released to Him. And I'm not saying you have a perfectly clear mind whenever you're doing His work with you. You're sometimes right in the middle of a turmoil and God will speak to you and all you have to do is acknowledge Him and listen and be obedient. And in that part that He speaks to you, that thing will be done. It's not saying that we're always collected and perfect, because right in the middle of some of the things that go on out there, it's hard to stay collected. There's some real demonic things, some real actual physical stuff that's going on in your lives and things that are happening. And I was really praying about it because these things that manifest even during camp are things that have been going on in our lives and in my life and something that would have needed to be dealt with. But it felt like it was this last month or so had reached a peak. You know, and God deals with us when it finally reaches a peak, when we just don't really want it anymore. It's really something we know. And not because it bothers any of you, and I really don't think it really matters because it bothers me that much because I could live with it. But it bothers Him. It bothers Him and my relationship with Him. It's really a dark stain on my soul that He doesn't really want there, and He wants to occupy that spot. He wants to occupy all those places in us. And so Monday night I went through all the whole thing, and I was battling with it, and Ada was a little bit too, I just told him that night before I went to sleep, because usually by the time we get to bed at 10 or 11 o'clock, we've just about had it for the day, and the way things go and the way the in-betweens that I have to deal with. But I had really given it to the Lord that night. When I woke up the next morning, Ada came and said to me, she says, "You know, I really came through this morning. God came through to me early this morning." And I said, "You know, when I got up, I was set free in it too." You know, and there's the one thing I'll tell you about being set free. It doesn't mean that it doesn't attack me, and it doesn't mean it doesn't approach me. But now because I've gained my freedom there and He's set me free in there, I can just tell it to go away. It may come back and it may have a little nagging thing down in the back a little bit. But I know that it's losing its power and it's losing its strength over me. I've been doing a little reading and I was really amazed that God is here to set us free. He's a God of freedom. He's not a God of bondage. And sometimes we think we have to put ourselves in bondage to Him. And I've been thinking too, He was free to create the universe. He was free to create us. He was free to go against His own nature and love us because of our sinfulness and how we are. He was free to send Himself in the flesh in His Son and free to take that back to, with Him so that we can have a doorway into His presence. He's a God of freedom. We just think it's bondage because it goes against our natures. And when I grew up in the church, and I used to think it was bondage, that I had to be good, that I had to do right, that I had to perform for God, that and things that I could not do. I could not do them. As hard as I tried, I couldn't. But I was taught that way. You know, sin is terrible and God is worse in a way because He's a God of bondage. But He's not. He's a God of freedom. He's a God of love. And this last time that God came and found me and brought me to Him, and everybody says, you know, you don't know how bad I was. And I started to tell you don't know how bad I was. You know, I was a murderer. I was everything. I don't mean that literally. I didn't go out and kill anybody, but I participated in people's deaths in a way. And God came to me and said, I want you. And I thought, well, I've never heard it that way before. I was laying there in all of my sin and all of my mess and all of the things that were going on and all the things I had committed my life to. And God says, I want you. I've come for you. Because He heard the cry of my heart. He heard the depth of that spirit, the deposit of Himself that I had made earlier in my life. And He said, I've come to set you free. And I said, okay. I'm ready to be free. And then from that time to this time, it's been a freedom. A release into freedom. A release into freedom. A release into heaven. A release into eternity. A release into the presence of God that I have never experienced before. A release into abandonment of myself that I could never achieve on my own. That God wants to abandon ourselves for Him. He wants to release ourselves to Him. Let Him do this work in us. We have a tense and constantly trying to save all these pieces that are there that are not beneficial to our walk in Him. We keep, I'm this, you know. I have people come for deliverance and say, well, I'm this way, now this is how I am. And I said, well, you're not going to be. You're not going to be. God has come to make you different. He's come to change you. He's come to change your life. He's come to change your desires. He's come to change your future. He's come to change your now. And I love Him for it. It's not natural for me to be here talking to you. I just don't do this kind of stuff. But yes, I do. It's not natural to share my heart and open myself up. But it is natural for me because I do. I'm like God whenever He said He was free to not reject me in my sin. He's free to love me. I'm free to love Him and I'm free to do what He wants me to do because I know that He's free to love me. And I don't do it anymore out of approval. I don't do anything anymore because He approves of me and He approves of what I do in the thought of being approval and gratification. I do it because He's done so much for me. He showed Himself to me. He showed me His reality that I can't help but do it because I love Him so much. He's changed me so much. He's done so much. All the sorrow and all the pain in my life, all those things, He washes away. He washes it away. He just erases it. It's not like, oh, I need to forget. As soon as we start stepping toward Him and those things that are painful and those things that are hard, He starts taking them from us. Those are sacrifices of our heart and our mind and soul that sets us free. And to think that He would turn in His freedom and say, give me all that sin and all that crud. And I'll exchange it for my life and the glory that I have for you and all the glory of heaven. What a wonderful thing. And I can't convince you of it. I might be able for while you're sitting there and we could get an emotional tie going here and you'd feel real good till you walked outside and ran right back into the life you had. God has come to set you free, and this is reality, and the river of God is flowing through this place this whole week. This whole week, everybody, I've seen everybody make changes this week. I've seen everybody give things up from the ministers right down to the last people. I've seen them wrestle with this stuff and run it around in their mind and give up things that they thought were theirs and give up all visions and give up rights and give up those and wrongs. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I had a bunch of scriptures and I'm off on another track, but it's all right. I want to just kind of read out of Matthew 5, 38 through 47 for a little bit. Whenever she asked me to do this, I could never really collect anything in my mind. I'm the kind of guy that likes to have a few notes so I can get my signposts down the road going. Well, God usually deals with me for a while before I share something. And this didn't happen this time. So, but I'm going to deal with it along the line of how much He wants to do for us and His coming, what His coming has done for us, and what His coming is going to do for us. And verse 38 said, "Have you heard that it is said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth?" We live there. As Christians, we live there. We always think we have a right. We have a right to retribution. We have a right to be paid back. We have a right to pay back. We have a right to feel the way we do. We were offended. We were hurt. We were robbed. We have a right. But I'm learning that those kind of rights are contrary to God's nature. And they're contrary to our nature as God does a work in us and sets us free. Because all those things in us, all those negative emotions, all those negative feelings, all those things we hold against people, all those things that we hold against ourselves, all those things that were done to us, those are the rights we think we have, but they're not. They're actually burdens that we carry that destroy that relationship with Him. And I say relationship with God, and it's such a small word. It's such a small word because it's not that. It's so much more than that. Because how can you have a relationship with somebody that lives inside you? He's you. You are the kingdom of God. When I walk around, the kingdom of God is going over here. When I go outside, the kingdom of God is going outside. When I go home and lay down in bed at night, the kingdom of God is laying down and resting tonight. I am that kingdom of God. So that relationship is me. He's trying to make me in His image. He's trying to make that relationship me. There's a whole lot of hard things that I'm going to read. Then I'm going to read a little bit more in the back, on down in Matthew 5. But first of all, verse 39 says, "I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also." Can we do it? I'm prone to think these are brothers and sisters. I'm prone to think that, believe it or not, I can take a strike from somebody outside the body easier than I can take a strike from somebody in the body. I can. I mean, verbal strikes, verbal strikes are just as bad as physical strikes. It's the same strike. It may even hurt more because, I'm just going from my experience. I've been struck a lot, I'll put it that way. And those things don't bother me as much as the verbal and the emotional strikes that have laid wounds on my soul and my heart. So God is teaching me to say, "Oh, well, if you want to do that to me over here, do that to me over here. It makes you feel better." Because I know when I go, "Do it to me over here," that's going to pierce a heart. That's going to pierce a heart. That's going to make them think, well, what? It's going to take the power out of them. It's going to take the momentum out of what they're doing. Going to make them think, and you can speak things to them, or even if they come back later, they're going to be different. How can somebody war against something that was no resistance? How can you could be so elastic and so this way and that way? Every time they strike you, just kind of they can't find any place to get a hold of. How can you have a conflict with somebody when you're like that? You can't, because God's love allows you to do that. And I'm not saying we all do it. I'm not saying we do it all the time. But I'm saying that this is where God's taking us. This is what's happening here. This is what's happened everywhere. God is taking His gospel and His life. He will have a people. I just want to be one. And I guarantee you, I was never a people. When I was younger, and even when I was coming up, and God's, Richard said last night that he always says that. He says, "I remember the day, the minute, and the hour that God saved me." And I thought, well, I've been saved so many times, I lost track when I was younger. But I remember when He came and got me. I remember when He came and got me, and I never went back. And I never changed my mind. And I wasn't even voluntary, like I said before. I was coerced. But I knew that He was my only answer. I knew it. And I'm telling anyone here that has a conflict over their life and what's happening and are overwhelmed by the by the things that are involved in our life that He's the only answer, and stay with Him. Don't let the weight of your days and nights and the weight of your family and the weight of your responsibility deter you. If you can't take more than if you drew a line on the ground and you were standing here, if you could only get that far that one day. Get that far. Because I've done a lot of those. Sometimes I was down on my stomach crawling trying to get there. But I had determined that my life was so bad, and I didn't have to think it over too much because it was bad, that anything was better. Anything was better. And that didn't mean when I started out toward Him that my life got a whole lot better right away. It didn't. It didn't get better right away at all. And I got really frustrated because I thought, boy, if I just give myself to God, I'm going to jump up, be happy, and run around. And it just didn't work that way. Because I had sunk myself so deep and so far down into sin and what I wanted to do that I just didn't give it up that easy. But now, in my ignorance of who God really was and how much power He really has and how everything is subject to Him, everything. You know, we fear demons quite a bit. Well, some do. I don't too much anymore. I never really did after I met Him, because I knew that God could really take care of them quite easily. But I feared what He could do. He was too sly for me. I was pretty good face to face, but when He come around and hit me from these side shots, I couldn't quite keep up with it sometimes. Because He always knew the enemy seemed to always know what I was doing that day and what emotional state I was in that day, and He just played me, really played me. But as I kept moving forward in the Lord and moving forward in the things God asked of me, and sometimes just stand in the things God asked of me, that He did a work in my life. I could finally turn the other cheek. Because used to, if you even talked to me kind of rough, we got in an argument, I'd probably punch you out. I didn't argue very good. See, if it turned into me and you have a conversation, it turned into an argument, pretty soon I'd have you by the shirt collar and I'd be shaking real hard. I wasn't a really noisy person. I was just that way. I ran out of words real quick. Sometimes I'd just get up and leave so I wouldn't have to get violent. But God has taken that out of me, and He's taken that out of me. Sometimes in the midst of confrontation, we learn to express love we may not even feel, but that is the right thing to do because we're God's. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have also your cloak as well. This is a lot of non-confrontational stuff. A lot of non-confrontational stuff. It's kind of funny. I hear a lot of us Christians think we still have all these rights. All these rights. Jesus is talking. He's not talking to the world here. He's talking to the Israelites. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the body. He's talking to those that need to affect each other positively and bring each other into good places in the kingdom, bring each other into good places in Him. We're supposed to be encouragers in all of this. We're supposed to be for each other in all this. God's really worked on me that because I'm a right-wrong guy. Either if you're right and you're doing right, or even if you're trying to do right, you're not being sly, I'm for you. But if I see any type of wavering in you, I kind of disregard you. And God says, you can't do that. It even says in the Scripture, if your brother's doing all this stuff, kind of withdraw from him, but encourage him in the faith and bring him back. I didn't do that. I just disregard him. Go on. If you want to come back, fine. Come back under the right with the right attitude. Those things, God says, those things put blood on your hands. Those things make you a murderer in the spirit because maybe you murdered that guy's soul by what you did to him or you participated in it. I got other things about that I did that I know that I had a long time getting over, the things that I did, that I wasn't obedient to God. And people really died in the natural and really maybe went to hell that I had to repent of. And God sets us free and He changes our lives. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Somebody asks something of you and you get there and all of a sudden they have 20 things for you to do. What are you going to do? Well, I got other things to do. But if they have a need, what are you going to do? We do it. We bow to those things in the Lord and we do it. We have no rights anymore. Not those kind of rights. We have rights in God and the rights God has given us. But we don't have any of our own anymore. And what's good about it is He set us free to do it. He didn't put us in bondage to it. He set us free to do it. He loves us. I was raised in a kind of a tough home. I didn't know what love was. I'd never really been told my whole life with my family that I was loved. I heard about God's love. I never saw it. And up till I was this, the one time God finally came and gave me. Before my wife, if I met somebody, I could never tell a girl I loved her. It just choked in my throat. I didn't know what it was. And love I always equated with that kind of life. If that's love, I shared one time on what's love got to do with it. It's true. And I'm not trying to bring anybody down this morning. I'm trying to encourage everybody. I'm trying to convict your hearts. I'm already convicted. I don't have to go very much farther. I figure if I share and I can't convict myself, and I can't feel like my great need of God needs to be satisfied and is being satisfied, then I wasted my time. If I convict nobody else, I need to feel conviction in my own heart when I'm sharing. That I can be more than I am. That I can move into places deeper than I've already moved into. Because I say these scriptures here and I can see how I don't do them like I should. I can see them. They just open it up to me that there's a deeper place. Give to one who asks you and do not turn away from one who wants to borrow from you. Around here we have a lot of people that want things and want to borrow and want to... We give it to them because it's the right thing to do. We don't always give it to them with joy and freedom. But God's changing that too. Because if we have something and God's given it to us, He's going to give us more. We never had it before He gave it to us. I'm not saying you run around throwing things at the houses as you drive by. Because God has certain situations that He has that He wants us to be involved in, and He brings those situations. And there are even situations that He brings that we may have to make other decisions in. We need to do all these things in the Spirit and in contact with the Holy Spirit with great discernment sometimes. Or maybe all the time. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And a lot of us already know that once we get into that, it's not so hard anymore. In the beginning, it's hard to pray for those that are evil and those that are doing bad things and to pray blessings on them and to want them to be saved and come into the kingdom or at least be blessed and let God take care of the rest. But it's kind of hard. But as we participate in it, once He puts that in our heart, we start doing better. And I'm not saying we're doing it because we want to put ourselves in bondage to it. I'm saying we want to be set free from it. We want to be set free from the bondage of it so that we're free to move in all of that without any problem at all. Because I know I'm going to help them or I'm going to do that. You know who they are. The Holy Spirit said, no, you need to go. You need to go. I said, no, I'm not going. I'm not going. Sometimes I'm that son that says he's not going and goes. I always thought it'd be better to be in the sun that says, yeah, I'll go and never show up. So, matter of fact, for a long time I was that son. I'm not going, Lord. And I'd get down the road to where I'm going little by little. And finally he says, okay, you're here. You might as well do it since you made it here. Okay, I'll go ahead and take care of the business since I arrived. And somehow I didn't even know how I got there. If you love those who love you, what will your reward be? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And what he means by perfect is be complete. I look in the Strong's and it says be complete. It says in various applications of labor, growth, mental, and moral character. Completeness. A full age, a man, perfect. The man that God is and woman that God has ordained us or decided that we are and created us to be. That's the perfect person. I know that there's no perfection in us in the sense of what it is, but we're like Paul running that race. That if by any means we don't achieve the goal of heaven, we don't achieve what God has for us. Not to say we won't. He wants us to always seek Him as if we're not there already. We do not have it all. We are not complete. And even to say, well, I know that, but I am pretty good. I know I've not reached the perfection, but I am pretty great. And let me tell you about my gifts and all these things that I have. And I said, well, tell God about it. Tell God about it. Because... everyone doesn't understand that people have been in the church realm for years and have been exposed to all this stuff. We're not impressed too quickly or too easily anymore. We kind of like want to see a few results in it a little bit. There is that thing I see in some, well, I'm a prophet. And everybody says, comes and tells me, do you know he's a prophet? And I said, well, how did you know? Well, he told me he was. And I thought, well, okay. We'll see. I just got a little bit more. I don't want to weigh your minds down with too much. I don't want you to ponder too hard. But at the same time, I really want to share the kingdom with you and what I'm just going to go a little bit on what it is to me. Sometimes I get caught up with too many scriptures. God wants to give us revelation of eternity. He wants to give us revelation of who Jesus is in the Father. How we sit down with Him and He sits down with the Father. How we're complete in Him. How He wants us to be. How He wants to do it in us. He's not wanting to hide anything from us. It's not like He wants to sneak up on us and say, oh, you only get a look. You only get a part of it and you got to figure the rest out. He wants to give it all to us. We don't realize that it's us that's saying, I really don't want to look. Don't show it all to me. I'm responsible then. He really, really wants me to understand all of that. And He brings us into that. To see His miracles, to do His miracles and do these things out of faith is, to me, is different than seeing heaven for what it is. Because a lot of times God will honor just that faith. But He wants us to anchor us in the heavens. He wants to anchor us into eternity. He wants to anchor us into who He is and the reality of those places. We keep thinking that we're going to make something up here and then heaven's going to pick it up and take it. And He wants us to realize He made this thing in heaven and He wants to give it to us and let us take it and do something with it. And that where He lives is reality more than what we have here. We're a created thing out of His reality. Now, I'm not saying I don't get sucked back down to earth every once in a while and I get pretty earthy. But I also know that He can take me anywhere He wants to take me and I'm really willing. That doesn't mean I'm always able, because we're in situations, but I'm getting so willing that He would give me those things. And if He's shown me enough, and I know some of you that I would really do anything. I would give anything for the rest of it. And I'll never take that back, and you can say, oh, well, yeah, really? I said, yeah, really, because He prepares me for those times that I give Him that anything. He sets me up. He does the work in me, bringing me up to that anything. And then whenever He comes and says, I want that, I sometimes a little grudgingly, sometimes I just say, here, take it. And He says, here, now that you've given me that, here's more of eternity. Here's more of heaven. Here it is. It's yours. Understand it. Let it rest in you. You rest in it. And then the next time it's more. The next time it's more. Don't be brought down by the lies of the enemy saying, oh, this is just never going to be over. When is this ever going to change? Because God does His thing. And I'm going to tell you this out of experience. I'll be going along and all this things are going on and I'm like, God, I'm just going to get out of here. I can't do this anymore. And then the next day and I'm doing better because I'm starting to move in it a little better and the pressure of it and the reality of it on me is getting less. And the reality of God in me to stand in it and to be in it and to operate and flow in it, flow past it or whatever you want to call it, is getting better. But sometimes it'll build right up to the greatest pressure and all of a sudden the next day I step out and it's gone. It's gone. But I gave it up before it was gone. Once I gave it up, I moved into freedom in that place. And we say, oh, I'm free now. I'm emotionally free. And this. No, you moved into a heavenly place. You moved into heavenly places. In here, out here. You moved into the rights and the privileges of that area. You moved into the power and authority of that area. To operate there freely and to deliver people from that area. You can't hardly deliver people from areas you don't have victory in. Except out of God's mercy on them that you're the only one there. And they need to be delivered. Because heaven, you know, heaven is real. Eternity is real. We haven't got it all figured out and we probably won't until we go move over in there. And our bodies are changed or we're dead and we move in there ahead of time. We won't understand it, but God is still bringing understanding and how it operates and how we flow in it. How we can be free in it. I keep saying freedom, 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 because when I was young, I thought it was bondage, 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 bondage. I was denying myself, doing all these good things, saying, I want to, this is so much fun, and let's go do this, is so much fun. Well, if you be a Christian, you can't do that. You can't do that. But as I got older, I saw the fruit of what I was doing. All the pain, all the hurt, all the destruction to my emotional state, all the destruction to my family, all the destruction to my relationship with my brothers, and all that. It was destroying my life. And in the beginning, it wasn't that bad. I was having a good time. But that's how it works. When we're young, we don't see that, I guess, sometimes. Especially like me, I was kind of schizophrenic, I think. The way I was raised, I scattered brain, scattered emotions. I was either shy and quiet and sitting over in the corner, or I was a raging madman. One of the two. God just brings all those things together, sets us free, heals us, makes us right. And He always seems to give us the thing we don't want. I don't want to be a deliverance minister. I don't even know if I want to be a speaker. Yes, you will. And I never went out asking to any of it. Would you do this? Okay. Now, when I came here and got deliverance and I helped and everything, it was fine helping. And I wanted to be set free and I wanted to be delivered of the things that were in me. That's been 8 years ago or so. But God had delivered me from so much. I'll tell you a little bit about that, too. God will do it for us. Me and my wife were going to Assemblies of God church. And none of them believed in deliverance or none of that stuff. So we had they'd have a prayer meeting on Tuesday night or something. So we go to the prayer meeting on Tuesday night and we start praying. About an hour or so into the prayer meeting, all this stuff's coming out of us and we're yelling and screaming and kind of making some noises and things were happening. And I always thought, well, wow, what is that? Am I going into intercession or something like that? But for some reason, it never sounded that like it was a good thing, except for it was going. Do a lot of yelling and stuff. But it was God sent us to a place that they just didn't say nothing. They just let it happen. When I came here, I thought I was going to be, talking in many voices and throwing up everywhere and doing all that. Dr. Null come up to me and he says, the only thing he said was, you got a macho man spirit. That's all he said. I thought he was going to say, you got 30, 40 demons you need to get rid of, But God had done a work for me over there before He brought me over here. On His own. Because I was open to let Him do it. I was looking for real truth, not looking for words. I was looking for real truth. I was looking for real spiritual change that would last in me. So when I got over here, he says, well, all I want you to do is sing Jesus Loves Me. I thought you were going to say, get out in Jesus' name. And I stood there for a minute and I thought, Jesus loves me. And I don't sing in front of people like that. And I don't do that kind of stuff a little bit. And then this little voice says, well, do you want to be set free? And I said, yes, I do. So I sang Jesus Loves Me. And then I sang it again, and Dr. Null sang it with me. We were talking about this earlier. He came back the next morning, and he says, what would you like me to pray for you for? Do you have a song or a word? And I said, well, I'd like to sing Jesus Loves Me. So I sang it two more times, and I was free of it. I was free of it. I was free of it. God does His work His way, and I'm just saying, be open to it wherever you're at. Seek Him. Seek Him deeply. Chase after Him because He's setting you free. He's not wanting to put you in bondage. He's not wanting to make you a set of rules for you because His rules are freedom. His rules are holiness. His rules are righteousness. His rules are niceness. His rules are joy. His rules are peace. Well, I don't feel too happy today, but do you feel peace? Do you feel peace? You have fake joy where you run around, oh, I'm so joyful. Or do you just have peace all the time? And that joy and that peace, it rests at your, just inside you're smiling when you're going through the day. That's what He gives to us. That's what He wants to give to us. And you can be interrupted, you can be whatever, but that peace and that flow of that peace never leaves. And it grows as He does a work in us and He fills us with Himself. That river of flow of peace. We were sitting here the other morning. I was sitting over there and Holy Spirit fell on Ada and she was just worshiping God. And all of a sudden I looked out here and I could just see this river. Just flowing. It was just running around me. It was a river of wind and a wind of river. It was just down through here. Everybody was responding to the Holy Spirit. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. We could have that presence and that wonderfulness of God to come and join us. not because we did anything good, not because our worship was so wonderful, it's because we let Him. We let Him. Because half of the work He does in us is just because we let Him. Not because we bear down. My bearing down, I remember when God used to deal with me, I'd go out in the garage and I'd just pace for hours. God, I don't even know what You want. But I'd feel this thing. And the thing wasn't that I had to break through. Sometimes I just had to let Him. Let it go. Let Him. Let Him do the work. Sometimes it'd take 3 or 4 days, but then I'd let Him, and then that thing was gone. Of course, another week or so, something else would pop up. But He's setting me free. I know a lot of us are past this already, probably. We've already moved into those freedom places. But I'm telling you that God's going to do it to you till you die. And I hate to tell you, if you're available, it's always going to be after you. And He's always going to take you in a place where you least suspect it. And He's always going to be... it's always going to be kind of hard. I always thought, I'd talk like Richard Tate, I thought the older I got... I don't even want to see 70 at this point sometimes. But the older I got, the easier this was going to be as far as me allowing God to change me and go deeper in me. But sometimes it's not. Because He's getting down there. And I saw my mom when she died. I've seen some others that are in their old age that God has dealt with in a strange way for righteous people. We think, what is that thing going on with them? Well, I thought with my mom, why is this happening to her? She's always been a righteous, modest, God-fearing woman. But then as I started talking to her, and I shared here a long time ago, that as I found out that she had unforgiveness, she had bitterness in her, she had some things that she just hadn't let go. So, however, I knew God was dealing with it. And we got her down to the point where she said, well, there's just two things I just can't let go. She died maybe 6 months later. But she had a stroke and some really bad things had happened to her. But God had done a lot of work in her in that time up to that point. She had to come through the fire. I don't know if I want to come through that fire. I'd rather get those things done for God now. And I'm not going to say, don't get me wrong, I'm not disdaining that anything that He does, even to that point. I give myself into His hands because I know that He's doing right by me. I'm not a fanatic in that way. I'm not out of my mind, and I wouldn't do this or do that. I just know Him and what He's shown me so far, that He's able and that He loves me. I've never known a love like that. I've never known a love that loved me no matter what. That never ever turned His back on me. Never ever said everything He did was for my benefit. Every discipline changed me. Every discipline did right by me in me. Always, always, always. Even now, He disciplines me and does right by me and changes me. And I never say that this is the way I am. I never say this is the way I'm going to be. I never say that I've kind of made it in that thing. Because I know that I feel like I'm 2 years old in heaven. I feel like I'm just a little child in His presence and what He's got for me. I don't have any big ideas about how old and how much I know and how much He's shown me or what type of position I have. I have this little 2-year-old perception of myself with Him. Because how can I even guess what a God that created a universe and created eternity and man? And what kind of competition or what kind of thought? How can I take pride in something that He's given me? How can I take pride in something I kept telling I didn't want? So God's tearing those things down in me. He's tearing those things down in you. When you come here for deliverance, He's tearing those things out of the way. He's breaking all those walls. He's changing your ideas, changing your mind, changing your thought processes. And I'm going to say that I guarantee that when you go home, that it continues. Oh, I didn't get nothing. Oh, yeah, you did. Oh, yeah, you did. When you stood up there and said, pray for me, and they said, here, you were imparted to. And God's going to continue that work, if you'll let Him, to set you free and heal you and make you better. All of us, all of us. All of us that have these little things down inside and all these hurts and wounds and pains that God has come to heal you and set you free from. To move in the spiritual realm, to flow in that river I saw the other day over here in this room, actually, the whole room. He's going to get us in there and let us flow in that river with Him continually, continually. Well, I'm going to close. Lord, I just pray right now for Your Holy Spirit to just come down and rest on us. Just come down and rest on us. Let us feel your love and your presence. And just heal our hearts and heal our minds, Lord. Heal us of the wounds of things that have happened to us. Heal us of all those things that stop us from receiving your fullness, that won't let us do what you want to do in us. Lord, and I just want to release a revelation of more, of deeper of eternity into each one here, Lord. A deeper revelation of who Jesus is and who Jesus is in the Father and how the relationship includes us. Because we're in that relationship. We're one of those sons, Lord. We're one of those brothers, Lord. It's like Richard showed last night on the tabernacle. Also, we're servants, sons, and then we're brothers. Bring us into those places, Lord. In Jesus' name. Just bless everyone. Bless everyone. And their trip home if I don't get to say it to them again. In your name, Jesus. And Lord, just bless the food and that's prepared for us. And amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.